Hey there, powerful soul. Welcome to Volume 2 of the Grow Through It podcast. I'm your host, Cassandra Austin McDonald. Here on the Grow Through It podcast, I share personal stories and the stories of others as we are growing through the journey of creating the life, love, and legacy of our dreams our way. Tune in as you may feel inspired to evolve into the best version of yourself. Welcome back to another episode here on the Grow Through It podcast. I'm your host, Cassandra Austin McDonald, and we're going to have a chat today about what happens when you outgrow your therapist or coach. I had a member inside of my free Facebook community, the Unapologetically Magnetic Woman, asked me to riff on this on a podcast episode. And I thought it was such a great topic to bring forward here on the podcast because I personally have experienced on multiple occasions outgrowing either a therapist or a coach. And the question she specifically asked was about being gaslit in those instances. And I was like, whoa, that's like, I felt it. And it's such an important conversation to have. I feel like it's not really talked about enough because a lot of times people enter these encounters with the assumption that there's going to be 100% integrity and support through and through. And unfortunately, we are still dealing with human beings. And that is why we have to use our discernment, trust ourselves, and use your discernment and trust yourself when having these, you know, intimate experiences. I mean, let's keep it real. Therapy and coaching are intimate experiences. We are revealing, even exposing at times, very vulnerable parts of ourselves. And we're creating dynamics where deeper level of trust is necessary than the average professional relationship, if you will. And I think it's important to preface this episode with this before I go into the conversation more deeply, because a lot of times this is how you can get blindsided by the gaslighting because you weren't expecting it, because such a deep level of intimacy had been created with these professionals. And I think that we have to have a level of presence and awareness in any and all of our interactions, because although we may not do that to someone else, we can't always expect people to be who we are. You know, that has been one of my biggest lessons of life. You know, I feel like when I am in my 90s, like, you know, like the late Maya Angelou, who just has always gifted us with her wisdom, I feel like one of my wisdom nuggets I'm going to leave is like, do not expect other people to be you. Because people are going to be them. Everybody has their own triggers, their own wounding, their own programming, their own patterns. And unfortunately, you know, there are those of us who believe deeply in integrity and embodiment. And there are people who are not that integrous. And so with that being said, I think it's important to have these conversations so that you're aware, not to scare you, but to keep you aware, and specifically the gaslighting piece. And so I'm not going to dive deep into gaslighting and defining what it is and all that stuff, because I actually did that on a previous episode in Volume 1. And so if you want to go back to Volume 1, Episode 94, and listen to that, I attended a gaslighting workshop facilitated by the Dr. Romani. And so Dr. Romani has been wildly known for her teachings on narcissistic abuse, narcissistic personality disorder, gaslighting, and different toxic dynamics in various relationships. And so she has been on all sorts of platforms and a worldwide renowned psychologist. And so I attended her gaslighting workshop for therapists, practitioners, healers, and stuff like that back in 2021, I believe. Wow, it's already been 2 years since I attended that. That's nuts. I'm like, man, the time. So yeah, go back to volume one, episode 94. That is where I do a little bit of a deep dive on gaslighting if you're more interested to hear more about that. But I want to just use this opportunity to share a little bit more about my experiences and my own personal standards for how I approach coaching relationships. So for one, I want to say this, you know, there have been so many occasions on my journey as a coach where I've had women come to me who know nothing about the coaching industry and they mistake me for a therapist. And so I am not a licensed clinical therapist. Okay. That is not my role at all. I don't diagnose and treat mental health challenges. That's not what I do. And so I want to make sure I say that and make that clear because I have had, because of the work I do, you know, and I could see that there's a fine line because there is a level of trauma work in my work, you know, with the soul work and the heart work, the mindset work that I do with women, but there is a fine line. And so I want to make sure I make that distinction so that those who are listening, if you are not very familiar with coaching, what that is, that you understand that I am not a therapist. Okay. And why I love the coaching industry so much, because a lot of times people who have no idea about coaching and the benefits of it, you know, I've had people say, well, I'll just use my insurance and go to therapy. And I'm like, that's great. You know, you do that. But time passes and I see they're still stuck in the same boat, whether if it's the relationship challenges, self-sabotage, imposter syndrome, limiting beliefs. I mean, I see it, the reoccurring issues tend to, you know, perpetuate themselves when people don't utilize other resources that are available to help them self-actualize. And so what I love about the coaching industry is that's really what my job is all about, is like self-actualization, growth, evolution, which is what this industry is about. In different niches, you know, whether if people are wanting to get back in shape again, or if people are wanting to work on their relationships, or if people are wanting to work on their finances or their business or their leadership. I do women's empowerment. And so I work with the whole woman, you know, supporting you to create even more impact as a leader, to have even more fulfilled relationships as a woman and a lover, to create holistic success. You know, not the type of success that is burning you out because you're burning the midnight oil. Okay. We don't know. That's no bueno. And so I love talking about feminine leadership and womanhood and wholeness and having the right mindset and beliefs and emotional intelligence, conscious communication, self-trust, and things like that. And so my work is a complement to therapy. I've had many clients who do both, you know, they have a therapist and then they work with me. In fact, I've actually had on multiple occasions, and I'm really proud to say this, I'm just tooting my own horn here unapologetically. I have had clients whose therapist was my client and their therapist was vouching for me and was like, yeah, she's the real deal. She's good. Like, she's real good. And so I felt like that makes you feel like super dope. Like, girl, I got the juice. Oh my goodness. It does. It feels really good when you have a client whose therapist is your client and they're vouching for you. It's an amazing, incredible feeling. With that being said, what I love about the coaching industry is it has completely, radically, unequivocally transformed my life and continues to do so. My life, my relationships, my business, my leadership, my womanhood, everything. Because I'm constantly investing in myself. I'm constantly putting myself in the room. I'm constantly challenging myself to be uncomfortable and to grow. And because of that, what has happened is I have come up against people who had this perception of me when I entered, you know, and so it's almost like I enter one way And maybe I entered with my limiting beliefs and my patterns and my self-sabotage and, you know, all that stuff. But then as we start working deeper and deeper and deeper, you know, I start overcoming the things that brought me to them. And I'm now shining and I'm evolving and I'm self-actualizing and I'm transcending the patterns and beliefs that brought me there initially. I have had experiences where there were coaches who felt threatened by me, and it showed up in the form of gaslighting. It showed up in the form of them throwing little shady snake digs, like trying to knock me down a peg. It showed up in the form of them saying things to try to, like, quote unquote, fake humble me or put me in my place. And thank God I have been doing the work I've been doing for a long time, because if someone who wasn't as self-aware, hadn't been doing their trauma work, and may even be more sensitive to those things, that could actually cause them to quit and not continue, to say, like, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore, especially as a profession. And a lot of times I have those experiences with fellow coaches when they were also a coach and we did similar work, and they saw me as a threat. And that's when I knew that that relationship was complete and it was time to move on, because that's not a healthy dynamic for myself nor that person if they're not willing to do their own work. And I think that when you are triggered by someone, their greatness, their boldness, their growth, their audacity, it's your responsibility to check thyself. It's your responsibility to unpack your triggers. It's your responsibility to do the emotional alchemy work so that you're not projecting that onto your client or onto someone else. And I think this is how projections get perpetuated, because people are not doing that work. They're not self-reflecting. They're not unpacking their triggers. They're not doing the emotional alchemy work. And instead, they just project. And that's how we keep seeing cycles of hurt people hurting other people, as opposed to the paradigm that I'm committed to creating, which is healed people healing other people. So with that being said, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you've ever heard of human design or not. Human design is a modality that I learned of about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and literally spent the last year and a half in different containers immersing myself and learning more about it and getting educated on it from experts in this. But I'm not going to dive deep on this episode either. And so if you want to learn more about it, let me know. You can private message me on Instagram or Facebook, or you can send me an email. But in short, my human design has, we all have two lines that make up our profile in human design. And so my two lines are a 5 and a 1. And the 5 means that I am a natural born leader. And the 5 means that I'm often projected onto by other people, which when I found that out, I was like, duh, I've been experiencing that all my life. I was like, that's not new. And what's interesting is, if you've been connected to me for any length of time, you know, part of my work has been supporting women with how to handle projections from others. In fact, I've been known to say, don't absorb the projections, observe them. And it's interesting when you find these modalities that reveal more and more about yourself, because it just becomes these tools that you get to use in your life, your relationships, your leadership, your business, to help you to be even better. And so the 1 in my profile is the investigator, the researcher, the one who loves and thirsts after knowledge. When I heard this, I was like, that makes so much sense, and no freaking wonder. And so when I learned of that, I really started thinking about my life and who I've always been. You know, I remember growing up, my grandparents gifted us these used encyclopedias, and I would sit on the floor in front of the bookshelf for hours. thumbing through these encyclopedias, and I was fascinated by learning the most random stuff. I just love to learn. Sometimes I would study natural disasters like hurricanes and tornadoes, and sometimes I would look up historical facts, and sometimes I would look up athletes. I mean, I would just look up all types of stuff. I was just fascinated with knowledge. I've always had this thirst and this hunger to know more. And I've noticed that that is what would trigger the projections, even in therapy dynamics. And so, unfortunately, I have also had encounters and experiences with therapists where I was healing sometimes at a rapid rate, and it would throw them off. In fact, I can't tell you how many therapists have told me, like, I have never in my life seen someone so committed to this work as you, ever. Like, they're like blown away. But what they don't understand is for me, therapy was bigger than me. It was like, I'm not here just to heal for me. I'm here to heal my bloodline. I'm here to heal ancestral generational patterns that were passed down to me. I'm here to heal so that I am an embodied coach and leader and healer myself. Like, it's bigger than me. And so I take it really serious. And I have found there are three different dynamics why people tend to go to therapy. One is an ultimatum, like family, relatives, partner, friends. They're like so bad off where they've given them this ultimatum of like, if you don't go to therapy, you can't be in our life anymore, you know? And so there's like this ultimatum. And then the second one is they're going because someone suggested it, because they keep complaining about the same thing over and over and over again. And so they're chronic complainers. And those types of people, They go to therapy, but they're not really doing the work. They go and they're just literally complaining to the therapist about the same things that they were complaining to the friend or the family member or the partner about. And so, you know, if you listen to a few episodes back, I talked about co-rumination, where if you are not with a good therapist who will redirect you and help you to see that that's what you're doing, you know, some therapists don't really care. And I'm just, hey, not popular opinion here, but I've heard and witnessed an experience where some therapists are just literally there to collect their check and go home at the end of the day. Like, they really don't give a rat's ass about your healing and self-actualization, which is why it's really disheartening to see people in these fields. You know, I remember when I used to work with juvenile and adult offenders, and my colleagues, there were so many colleagues who just were there to collect a check. And I was thinking to myself, like, why the heck are you here? Like, what are you doing? We're talking about people's lives here. Like, the people on our caseloads had serious challenges. We're talking about serious drug addictions, serious mental health challenges, committing crimes where, you know, they were able to not be incarcerated, but they had very strict guidelines by the court that they had to follow. And if they didn't follow them down to the T, they could be incarcerated. And so to see that my colleagues sometimes were just so disconnected from the work that they were basically just there to collect a check, and the lack of care for their clientele, you know, not really putting in the work and making sure that these people were getting the support they needed. Which brings me to my next point about that line one in my human design. You know, working in that field, I started realizing there were some gaps that were missing. And there was this big focus on cognitive behavioral training, which was the modality I was trained in. And cognitive behavioral training, in short, is just about changing your thought patterns to change your behavior patterns. And unfortunately, there wasn't a big emphasis on nervous system regulation, emotional healing, and things like that. And those were actually things I learned when I left my former career and was like knee deep into the work I do as a coach. And so it took me to have a hunger and a thirst for myself to know more about how to really self-actualize and alchemize trauma and heal that led me down this path. And that's kind of how I was starting to come up against therapists who saw me as a threat. I had therapists who loved that I was the way I was. Like, they loved it. It made them want to research more, made them want to learn more, and made them want to even do their own trauma work. You know, I unfortunately had some therapy relationships that were not very healthy, and I had to depart where they were starting to share personal things with me. And I'm like, who's the therapist here? Me or you? I'm like, what's going on here? This ain't how this works. I'm paying you. You ain't paying me. Okay. what are we doing here? And so, you know, there were some relationships that they felt inspired by my hunger to heal and grow and thrive and self-actualize. And I had some encounters with therapists, unfortunately, in the past who tried the gaslighting. And I even had a therapist one time who, oh my gosh, this was years, 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 years ago. Like, we're talking like many years ago, who had the audacity to tell me, well, at least you have a good job with benefits. I don't even know why you're here. Like, she was so threatened by me. It was crazy. So all those experiences, what they really started to teach me was, for one, I was growing. And it started to show me the importance of having integrity as a coach myself. And one thing that can be an issue in the coaching industry is this low barrier to entry. You know, you literally can show up on these internet streets and call yourself a coach. It's not a regulated industry, which I have feelings about. I'm not very fond of that. And a lot of people tend to hop into this industry because they think it's going to make them a quick buck. It's going to make them internet famous. It's going to help them to save and fix people because they have a savior complex. And there's therapists who have savior complex too, which is where that gaslighting comes from. You know, when you start growing beyond the perception that other people have of you, they want to pull you back into the identity that they see you as, or they saw you as, to make them feel better about themselves. And that, it's no longer aligned at that point. And, you know, I see this happening a lot in the coaching industry. There's a lot of wounded healers, people who are not embodied in their work, not doing the work, not walking their talk, and want to be a coach because they think that it's cute or it sounds good, or they're trying to escape their own healing journey. You know, there's a lot of people who are still operating in codependent patterns, meaning they're trying to heal other people to heal themselves. That is not the work of a healer. That's codependency. And I think it's important to know these things because this is how people get harmed. This is how you can get harmed. This is how people experience this gaslighting and these different dynamics, coaching and therapy. And it's important to first and foremost always be connected to yourself and aware of how you're feeling in these dynamics, and to trust yourself. To trust yourself. You know, I have someone that I've learned from who said that people often learn either through contrast or validation. But I kind of have feelings about that because I don't feel like it's always necessary to learn through contrast in these dynamics if it is going to be harmful. And that's kind of where I draw the line. Do I believe you should be challenged? Absolutely. That's how we rewire our limiting beliefs. That is how we confront our sabotage. That is how we reprogram ourselves. We have to be challenged. We've got to have a level of uncomfortability and discomfort. However, the line is when it's harmful, when you're being gaslit, when your ability to co-collaborate is not welcome, because these dynamics should be co-collaborative, right? Like, you're co-creating with someone the ideal outcome for yourself, whether if it's in your life, your relationships, your business, your leadership, what have you. Like, this is a co-collaborative experience. It's not just about the coach or the therapist. This is, you're there too. You're a participant. And so it should very much be co-collaborative. And if it doesn't feel that way, you know, you may have to reevaluate that. But you have to also have the self-awareness and the emotional intelligence to know the difference between being challenged for your growth and being gaslit because they feel threatened by you. And there is a fine line. And I think that the issue with this fine line is when people don't have self-awareness and emotional intelligence. And this is why I love that most of my clients work with a therapist alongside with me, because if you, for instance, have a pattern of hypervigilance, you may think everything's a threat. Because that's your core wound. That's your core trauma response is hypervigilance. And so you may struggle with discerning the difference between hypervigilance and intuition. And if you struggle with that, it will probably behoove you to work with a therapist alongside a coach so that you can work with your therapist to unpack that as you're working with your coach to co-create the desired outcome that you hire that coach for. So that's just an example. Now, you know, I'm thinking about an example where I really feel like I revealed my embodiment as a coach to a client that I worked with recently. And embodiment in layman's terms merely means that you are walking your talk. You are practicing what you teach and preach. You are living by it, that you're not just saying stuff because it sounds good. You're not doing what I call being a copy and paste coach, where you copy in other people's stuff and then you regurgitate it as your own, or you read something out of a book and then you hurry up and try to sell a course. You know, like you have learned information, you've applied that information to your life, you have experienced your own transformation and results, and now you have embodied wisdom that you can share with your clients. That is what it means to be an embodied coach. And there's a process in that. Okay. That's my humble opinion of what that definition is. And so with that being said, I had a client that I worked with recently who is a self-love and relationship coach. And she came to me because she said that she wanted to work on all the things. She was like, I want to work on my womanhood and my femininity. I want to work on my relationship and I want to work on my leadership. She was like, I just love who you are and what you stand for and the way that you show it in your work. And so we worked together for a little while and she completely, completely transformed her life. Like when I say completely, she stepped into a version of herself that she didn't even know was available to her. Like it was incredible to witness. Embodied as a woman, more in her feminine, did some trauma work, and so had faced some fears and limiting beliefs and healed some things and transformed her relationship to where now she's about to get remarried. And she started to put more video content out there after being terrified of, you know, being seen and more visible. And so we worked on her visibility. We worked on her being seen. We worked on a strategy for her increasing her brand profile and really just being more seen by people in the work that she does. And she started creating more video content and she started to expand and grow. And so she literally was a whole new woman, which is my signature offer in the work that I do, a whole new woman. And transformed her life, her relationships, and her business. It was incredible to witness. And during one of our calls, I remember she was thanking me for the work we had done together. And, you know, we were talking about this transformation that she had. And I just had this really intuitive moment where I said, you know what? I used to be called the self-love queen. And I said, I feel like that's who you are now. And I put my hands above my head as if I was lifting a crown off of my head. And then I put my hands toward her as if I was placing this crown on top of her head. It was just a gesture that came very intuitive to me. And I said, you know, I'm crowning you as the self-love queen now. And in that moment, I felt grateful for merely being who I am. Because I believe that's what it means to be an embodied coach. I did not see her growth as a threat to me and my work. You know, I used to, self-love and relationship coaching was my title in the past, you know, before I shifted into self-mastery and starting to help more women in their leadership and business too. And if I wasn't embodied as a coach, I could have saw that as a threat. I go like, oh my God, is she going to be better than me? Oh my God. And the whole competition comparison crap that we see women do still, you know, but instead I felt proud of her. I felt honored. I got to work with her. I felt confident in her ability to carry that title out because I saw the transformation that she had experienced in our work together. And it really made me think, this is what it's all about right here. This is what it's about, is even if this person grows beyond what you ever thought of. And this is another point I want to make. You should always see your clients, envision your clients' highest good. You know, if anyone sees you as a threat, it's because they never envisioned you in your power. They never saw you in your power. They never envisioned you in the end result that you said that you wanted. I always hold that vision for my clients. That's how they get such rapid transformation, because I see it for them. Even when they forget, even when self-sabotage wants to show up, even when their beliefs are fighting for their place, even when they're struggling with conditioning or old wounds or patterns, I hold the vision, because that's my job as a coach, is to hold the vision. And so that's another telltale sign, is like, do they even see you in your power? And I found that a lot of people didn't see me in my power. Especially when I would go work with coaches who were making buku money, multiple six, seven, eight figures, and I haven't made that yet. And they would see me as a little old, little something trying to climb her way up to where they're at, when really I was just humbly wanting to learn what they knew that I didn't, so that I could apply it and grow and learn and get better. But if people don't see you in your power, and they don't see the vision, and they don't hold the vision, and you start to grow beyond the perception they had of you initially, that could be why they feel threatened. That could be why the gaslighting starts to happen, because they never envisioned you in that way to begin with. And so I believe that, you know, one reason I've been able to not just experience profound growth and transformation for myself in the work that I've done with myself, with therapists and coaches I've worked with, but also in the work I've done with my own coaching clients, is because I'm very much self-led. Very much self-led. And I've been self-led most of my life. I don't get trapped or stuck in situations when I outgrow them. You know, sometimes it may take me longer than others to get up out of there, you know, because, you know, that subconscious is real. That subconscious is real, okay? But eventually, I always get out. I always move forward. I always grow. I always expand. I always evolve. I always transcend the circumstances. Always, 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 because I am a self-led woman. And that's why I'm excited about what's coming up in my world, because inside of my free Facebook group, The Unapologetically Magnetic Woman, I'm going to be doing a free training coming up about self-led women, what it means to be a self-leader, what it means to lead yourself. So we're going to do an in-depth training on that. If that's something you're interested in, I'm going to put a link in the show notes so that you can join for no cost. And details about when will be coming up, but you might as well just go on and join the group, because that's where it's going to be held at. But I really love that one of the members in that space asked me to riff on this, because I think it's important to know as a client, and if you're also a coach, and if I have any therapists listening, you know, if you're a practitioner of any sort, to understand how these dynamics can play out. And you know, you could either be supporting someone's healing or harming them. And I don't know about you, but I'm here for the healing, growth, and evolution of humanity. I'm not here to perpetuate harm with fellow humans. And I think that if we can all get on one accord with that mindset, we will see more people transcending their traumas, their circumstances, and actually self-actualizing into their fullest potential so that you can be, do, and have what you desire in this lifetime. You gotta know who you are. You gotta trust yourself. You gotta be aware of yourself and move accordingly, you know, throughout these different dynamics. And so if you are in a space of like, you know what, I'm ready to do deeper work. I'm ready to do some deeper healing work, to do some rewiring work of your patterns and your beliefs. And you really want to unleash this magnetic woman within so that you are being the one who's creating more impact in the work you do and having more fulfilling relationships and creating holistic success that's good for your well-being, then I'm going to put a link where you can book a 30-minute power activator call with me. And the 30-minute power activator calls are a really great opportunity for us to connect together for 30 minutes one-on-one. And during that time, you will be able to share with me what your big vision is. What's that big vision that you have of yourself and where you see yourself and where do you see yourself going, being, doing, and having? And then we'll discuss what are the challenges that are in the way. And then I will make a professional recommendation on the next best steps I think that you can take to help you get closer and closer to that vision. And then if it's aligned, then I will share more about how you can work with me. And if we both agree that it's a good fit to continue working together, you can apply the Power Activator call fee to your coaching package. And so I love doing that as a bonus for those who are ready to just dive deep and work with me longer term so that you, it's just a bonus. I love to do that. So if that's something you're interested in, I'll pop a link in the show notes for that too. But it was my pleasure to spend this time with you here today and to chat a little bit about, you know, possibly outgrowing the therapist or the coach and what that looks like. And I hope that you were able to walk away from this episode with deeper insights and awarenesses that you can move forward with either as a client or as a practitioner, coach, healer, therapist yourself. Thank you for being here, and I'll chat with you next time. Take care now. Thank you for listening to this episode. Please make sure to subscribe, like, share, and leave your review for the podcast. To learn more, go to www.cassandraaustin.com.